the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him, and everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makes the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. So welcome and peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear brothers and sisters, This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and we're going to speak about the status of dua or supplication. Today, Sunday, is the 28th of Sha'ban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of April, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Chapter Al-Baqarah, verses 127 to 129.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
And mentioned when Abraham was raising the foundations of the house, and with him Ishmael, saying, Our Lord, accept this from us. Indeed, you are the hearing, the knowing.
ربنا وجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم.
Our Lord, and make us Muslims in submission to you, and from our descendants a Muslim nation in submission to you, and show us our rights and accept our repentance. Indeed, you are the accepting of repentance, the merciful.
رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Our Lord, and send among them a messenger from themselves who will recite to them your verses and teach them the book and wisdom and purify them. Indeed, you are the exalted in might, the wise.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
These verses attest to the fact that Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, and his son Ismail sought from Allah five important invocations. These prayers, which were offered when they were busy building the Kaaba, are so exact and consistent with all the necessities of material and spiritual life that they can lead men to the recognition of the magnificence of the souls of these two great apostles of Allah. May Allah's peace be upon them.
Thank you.
The status of supplication we're talking about. Dua, or supplication, is a form of worship for which there is a great reward beyond even having the dua answered. So when you make dua, you will feel closer to Allah, have your dua answered, and you are rewarded for making dua. We have to act upon Allah's command to make lots of dua to Him. Be sure that our dua will be answered. If it is not answered in this world, it will be counted as rewards for you in the hereafter, when you will be in need of every single reward you can get, as we all will. Be one of those who would say, O Lord, give us good in this world and in the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the fire. Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 202. And Allah knows best.
So what is the meaning of dua? We begin with this ayah, Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, ayah number 60. Allah, the way that He speaks about dua is very beautiful. He says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah begins the ayah by saying what? وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. This is significant. Who is speaking here? Allah is speaking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has 99 names. Out of all of the names, Allah chooses Rububiyyah. He introduces Himself as our Rabb. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. Meaning, what Allah is about to tell us is related to rububiyyah. What does rabbukum mean? One of the names of Allah is that He is our Rabb. We know that Allah is our Khaliq. He created us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just create us. Allah didn't create us and just leave us to ourselves. He created us, and He continues to nurture us. He continues to sustain us, to provide for us. This is the meaning of the word Rabb. The word Rabb is the one who creates and continues to care for His creation. It's like the farmer. The farmer doesn't just plant the seed and leave. The farmer plants the seed, removes the weeds, makes sure that there's enough water, enough sunlight. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the word Rabb, Allah in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah number 5, He speaks about the linguistic meaning of the word Rabb. فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءِ. When we sent down rain upon the earth, what happens? اِهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. When Allah sends down water upon the earth, what happens? The earth stirs, and what happens? There's growth. Plants grow. So warabat means to grow. So when Allah says waqala rabbukum, it means that what He is going to tell us is necessary for our spiritual growth.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end.
This is today's special, calling upon Allah we're talking about. The Quran states, call upon me and I will answer you. If a friend says to another, if you ever get into any trouble, give me a call and I will be there for help. That sense is subject to terms and conditions such as the friendship is maintained, that the phone number is not lost and that is correctly dialed, when contact is made, unrelated matters and issues are not set and unrealistic expectations are not had, while at the same time you should be performing your own responsibilities, and whatever is called for is really a problem, not an imaginary issue or groundless fear. In order for the problem to be solved, do not wait for all the requirements to fall into place. In order for your own problem to be solved, it should not result in the beginning of another problem for yourself or others. When portraying the problem, be honest and faithful. Why your prayers aren't answered? Perhaps you are impatient. Yeah, you just couldn't wait, could you? You ask Allah for something over and over again, and when you didn't get it, when wanted it, got impatient. And so you gave up. You stopped asking and started believing that Allah wasn't going to answer your dua. And that you went and told someone that Allah didn't answer your prayers. Your knowledge is limited, but Allah's knowledge is unlimited. You might think you want something right now, but Allah knows better when it is right to give it to you. But since you became impatient and said the wrong thing and stopped making dua, you lost out on everything.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He postpones the answer to our dua many times. The question is why? If He could do it right away, why shouldn't He do it? If He wants something done, He just has to say, let it be, and it will be done. That's it. It's as easy as that. He doesn't have to stress about it. He doesn't have to exert any force or effort. He just says, kun, the Holy Quran says, kun, be. The Holy Quran says, fayakun, and it shall be. So why does He postpone? Now, there are four possible reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala postpones the answer to my dua, to my prayer. Number one, the first reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala postpones the answer to my prayer is because it's a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me. And by the way, there's a tradition from the Imam, one of the companions asked Imam al-Sadiq that sometimes we pray but Allah doesn't give me. So does Allah postpone? The Imam says yes. He says, how long? The Imam tells him, Allah may postpone the answer to your dua up to 20 years. You ask now, 20 years later Allah gives you. The first reason why the answer to my dua is postponed sometimes is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test me. He wants to see if I have patience or not. Because you see, there are some people, he will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She will be a good, faithful, devout Muslim as long as she or he is comfortable. As long as everything is going as planned, as desired. If God gives him what he wants, he worships, he's happy, he accepts, he submits. But as soon as things get a little out of hand, as soon as he falls into a few problems, as soon as he calls on Allah for a few things and Allah doesn't give him, he starts disbelieving. He starts complaining. He starts whining. He has to have it his way, or I'm not going to believe.
think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is an aphorism from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's sixth infallible successor. If a person observes his brother in faith performing something evil, and does not prevent him in spite of his ability and authority to do so, then he is really treacherous to his brother.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In continuing our discussion on the tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in mentioning and discussing the units or the regiments of the Aql, that is the army of the intellect, and that of Jahl, that is the army of ignorance, we have reached this point in the tradition where the Imam again mentions two other traits. The trait that the Imam mentions in this section or in the segment of the tradition is something that we all are acquainted with, we all are accustomed with, one of those being Rahmah, mercy, and obviously mercy in all of its forms, as we mentioned so many times, and we will continue to mention that the reason why these are very general terms and are called units is because there are very many different instances and reference for these type of characteristics and traits. And again, as we know, that which is in direct conflict with mercy or rahmah is ghazab or anger or wrath, whichever way you want to look at it. But one of the things that we must also note is that this is not the case that ghazab in all of its cases is something bad. Ghazab is that, or that anger which is against rahmah, is that anger which, you know, is misplaced. Where a person, you know, as they say, sees red and goes about destroying himself and things around him because he's just an angry person. However, ghazab for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact rahmah, is a mercy. And this can be seen in our day-to-day lives. For example, a parent who is angry with their child because he did something wrong, in order to teach their child, to protect their child, they will show anger, they will show, you know, that you did something wrong. They will shout at their child, maybe. They might even, you know, ground their child, take something away from their child to show them, no, you've done something wrong. This is a teaching mechanism. And it can also be said this of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to guide us towards that which is better, has threatened human beings with his wrath and his anger in order for them to go towards that which is a lot better. And it become a time where a person continuously or is absolutely inattentive of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ghazab. Why? Because he is so engrossed in the true and the reality of what rahmah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is. This is on a different level and on a different plane. However, here when the Imam mentions that these two are in conflict, it is that ghazab which is not for the sake of teaching, it is not for the sake of the betterment of that person, but rather it is just a evil trait within somebody that comes up and the person is unable to control it, nor are the intentions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to show rahmah, to show mercy wherever it is needed, and to control our anger, and only to show anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio, a program which aims to make us more familiar with the Holy Quran. This program consists of many interesting parts. We are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter. An expert of the tajweed of the Quran will analyze the recitation. And also, in the final part, we will have amazing stories about those people whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran. Meanwhile, we will listen to some quotes of the late Imam Khomeini about the Noble Quran. You're tuned to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I, Mehdi, ask you to stay tuned. According to Imam Khomeini, the Quran is the man-making book. Islam is the man-making ideology. Man in all his dimensions. Concerning the Holy Quran, Imam Khomeini has said, "The main purpose of the revelation has been to create knowledge of the Almighty." Now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 25 to 28 of Surah Jinn, recited by Brother Hassan Rezaian.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن أدري أقريب ما ليعلم أن قد أبلغوا رسالات ربهم وأحاط بما لديهم وأحصى كل شيء عددا صدق الله العلي.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Surah Jinn, verses 25 to 28, by Brother Hassan Rezaian. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن أدري. The first rule that we have is the rule of Nun Sakina, which is Ilhar of Nun Sakina. Ilhar means clarification or manifestation of something, expression of something. And practically it is the Nun Sakina that is read clearly and fully. It's the opposite of ikhfa and idgham. In idgham, the nun sakina is not pronounced at all, and in ikhfa, only the nasal sound of the nun is heard. Otherwise, the place of articulation of nun is completely ruled out for ikhfa. But for ilhar, the nun sakina is pronounced from its own place of articulation. In adri aqaribun, adri aqarib. First of all, we have tarqiq of ra, the thinness of the ra. Second, we have matul munfasil, adri aqaribun. So we have the option to lengthen this mat to 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. but we have to be consistent in terms of the lengthening of this mad. That is, if you see another madul munfasil in your recitation, you have to lengthen it to the same number of vowel counts as the first madul munfasil that you read in your recitation. أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُوَعَدُونَ. We have إِدْغَامُ نُونَ سَاكِنَةً مَعَ الْغُنَّةِ. أَوْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا. This is the second madul munfasil in our recitation so far. And so we have to lengthen to the same number of vowel counts that we lengthened the first one, which was قُلْ إِنْ أَدَرِي أَقَرِيبٌ مَا تُوَعَدُونَ أَمْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا. So if we lengthen it to two vowel counts, we would read it like this. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. This is another matul munfasil. غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. And another thing to note in this surah is that we have a lot of waqful ibdals at the end of the verses. We have tanween al-fath followed by alif, and if you stop on such words, you have to read that letter that has tanween al-fath with an alif al-mad, like a normal alif al-mad, because whenever you do waqf, it turns into a letter with alif al-mad. Rabbi amada. عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحدا. أحدا is the form. If we continue, it will be in that form. But if we don't continue and we stop, it will be أحدا. إلا من ارتضى من رسول فإنه يسلك من بين يدي ومن خلفه رصدا. I want to talk about the تفخيم of the Ra in this verse. Man irtada. The Ra of irtada is pronounced with tafkhim because it's preceded by Hamzatul Wasl. Every time the Ra Sakin is preceded by Hamzatul Wasl, automatically it is pronounced with tafkhim, even if it's preceded by Kasra. So as you can see, we don't say Man irtada, we say Man irtada. Mir Rasul, another Ra with tafkhim in this verse. Mir Rasulin. Idgham takes place, Idgham of Nun Sakna takes place into Ra, and the Ra is pronounced with tafkhim, with thickness. Mir Rasulin. You don't say Mir Rasulin, you say Mir Rasul. The mouth is full when pronouncing the Ra. فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِن خَلْفِهِ رَصَدَى. As you can see again, we have Waqful Ibdal of Rasada. And we have to make sure that the Ra is pronounced with tafkhim, the Sad is pronounced with tafkhim, and the Dal is pronounced with tarqiq, because Dal is a letter of istifal. Okay? And letters of istifal, except for Ra, which is sometimes pronounced with tafkhim, have to be pronounced with tarqiq. So letters such as Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim, Ha, Dal, Dal, Zai, Sin, Shin, Ain, Fa, Kaf. These are pronounced with tarqiq. يَعْلَمَ أَنْ قَدْ أَبْلَغُوا رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَحَاطَ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. Let's talk about the tafkhim of the ta in the word أَحَاطَ. The ta has to be read with tafkhim, because it's a letter of istila. And in the word ahsa, sad has to be pronounced with tafkhim, because sa is also a letter of istila. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to this segment of Let's Recite the Quran. I now invite you to listen to the next segment of this program. Thank you.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim
is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, and continuing our story about that Japanese brother who wanted his two daughters to become Muslim, because he himself was a person who studied, who understood religion. He actually went to Pakistan to study. And therefore he wrote a letter to one of his friends, the story goes, a person who was well versed in Islam. And he asked that this friend go and speak to his daughters in order to convince them that Islam is the religion of peace, that Islam is the correct religion, and that Islam is a religion that will provide a person both salvation and felicity in this life and in the hereafter. This brother's name was Nakamura, who obviously became Muslim. He changed his name. He had two daughters who were twins. Now it is mentioned in this, as the story goes, in this particular newspaper, that this Nakamura spoke to one of his friends. And again, what is unfortunate is that the name of the friend is not mentioned in the story. So this friend got a letter from this individual named Nakamura to go and please speak to my daughters. So anyway, a meeting was arranged for the person to meet the daughters of this individual, Nakamura, and in order to invite them towards Islam. So anyway, there was a telephone conversation and a meeting was arranged to be had within a particular printing house of the husband of the older sister of these two. So you see that possibly Mr. Nakamura had three daughters, according to the story. Two of them were twins, one was older than both of them. But he didn't really put any emphasis on the older one, for whatever reason. He may have seen that she is already old and she's living her life and so on and so forth. But these two were important. So anyway, a meeting was arranged to be had in the printing house of the husband, who was the manager of the printing house, of the older sister. So therefore, the older of the two, the older sister of the twins that were there. So anyway, the brother goes and he speaks to them and a meeting takes place, but he says that the meeting was not a place that was beneficial. There's probably many reasons why it was beneficial, or rather was not beneficial, because maybe because of the environment they were in, the other, you know, sister and her husband being there, and so on and so forth. So there are many different reasons for this meeting not to fulfill the objectives that this person wished it to fulfill. So they arranged for a second meeting. Now the second meeting was arranged to be had in the house of this particular person. So he invited the two young daughters of, or the two twin daughters of Nakamura, to come to his house in order for a second meeting to take place, where he can then invite them towards Islam. So anyway, he greeted them, he bid them farewell, and he waited until the next meeting, which would be had in his house. So inshallah, in our next segment, or rather in our next episode, we will mention that meeting and the verse of the Holy Quran that attracted these two towards Islam, inshallah. Until then, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Islam, the Holy Prophet, the Quran, in very clear ways have mentioned that there's no distinction between people and human beings based on gender or ethnicity. The way we Muslimin look at women, we do not consider women to be at par with men. We don't see that. There is an inferiority that is there. It has even seeped into and found its way, unfortunately, into some of the ahadith. The ahadith are not from the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. They are ahadith that have been attributed to the Ahlul Bayt, to the Prophet. Is that they're deficient in faith, deficiency in aql, in intelligence, and deficiency in faith, in iman. But because it's attributed to the Holy Prophet and found some hadith book, no! It goes against the Holy Quran. Not only do we not have hadith that says they are different, we have hadith that suggests they are the same. And gender does not make a difference in intelligence. And therefore, with this demonstration, it is clear these small attributions found here and there, be it in Nahjul Balagha or some other book, they are rare hadith, they are shadh hadith. The abundance of hadith and clear verses of the Holy Quran tell us that this cannot be the word of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Those cannot be the words of the Holy Prophet. Absolutely not. Let's not make this a religious thing. Religion teaches us that in order for men to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have got to get past this shuhun nafs, this feeling of superiority that is in them, and then they justify it religiously with these ahadith that are there, al-ayadu billah, or the rulings in Islam that people speculate and say this is the reason. Absolutely not. There's an abundance of hadith that says iman is increased, or when iman is increased in a man, his relation with women, the way he approaches women, the way he sees women, is such that he does not have that feeling of difference and agitation. When you have this feeling that you don't see them the same, when they speak to you, you don't feel the same as when, and there's a lot of complaints about this, husbands not being able to converse with their spouses, with their wives, in nearly the same way. They can't have a nice conversation. They like to spend time, hours talking to their friends, male friends. When it comes to their wife, they're not willing. It says that when the iman of a man increases, this changes in them. This changes. This is what Islam says. Islam says this needs to change. This thought process needs to change. This ideology needs to change. Not that, God forbid, al-ayadu billah, I'm ashamed to say, but I will say it because it's important for us to pick these things out and throw them out. Not throw the person out. May Allah forgive him for this. Mullah Sadra is a scholar known for his philosophy. And those who are in the field of philosophy, who are experts of it, I'm not an expert in philosophy. I have studied it. I like it to a degree, but I'm not an expert in philosophy. There are scholars who are experts in philosophy as well, or some who have just specifically studied that
discipline. He's a great scholar in philosophy and so on and so on. However, unfortunately, there's something he has said in his book that is outrageous. He has explicitly said women are animals that have been created for the pleasure of mankind. I'm so ashamed of this, and it sounds so wrong, it clearly, that it's hard to believe that a scholar would say this. When I first read this, I couldn't believe it. I had to go find the book, make sure it's an authentic copy, and then find it and see it for myself. And unfortunately, I did. It's there. And unfortunately, one of his successors as one of the great scholars in philosophy seems to have agreed with him, and then unfortunately tried to justify his words by mentioning some verses of the Holy Quran, which are completely off, have nothing to do with that outrageous statement. What is this? Why is this in our books? Why is this in there? It tells us, and the reason why I'm saying this, let me get this very straight, make this crystal clear. The objective of this whole conversation here, Allah knows, is not to put down this author or that author. That's not the objective. Let no one make a mistake on that. It is to clear up our ideology, our belief system, our thought process. We need to change how our fathers look at their daughters, how our husbands look at their wives, how men in the community view women in the community. We've got to change that. And one of the obstacles that clearly is in the way is the thought, the assumption, the wrong understanding that this is actually religious. Even though some of us may not have accepted it fully, it just leaves this lingering thought there, what if it is? And what I'm trying to do is make it crystal clear. Not only is there a justification for it, people have spent time trying to explain, maybe Ali ibn Abi Talib meant this or that, or maybe it's not authentic. I am presenting to you what my research, this is an area, I'm not an expert in philosophy, but this is an area that I have spent a lot of time in. And I can tell you, it is definitely the case that these are not the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib. 100%. On the day of judgment, may Allah curse me if Ali ibn Abi Talib has said these and I said it's not his. I am that clear on the matter. 110%. Allah is a witness. Those words attributed to the Holy Prophet, al-'ayadu billah, they go against the Quran. Do not even have a lingering thought in your head that maybe that. No, they're absolutely not. If any thought comes to your head that, yeah, you know, these are women, they just don't understand, know that that's shaitan. That is 100% shaitan. It's not Allah, it's not the Messenger, it's not Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's not Imam al-Sadiq, it's Iblis himself. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it feeds into the nafs of a man to feel that way. It's clear, it's so clear, so blatant that this feeds into the nafs, and it comes from the nafs of some men that perhaps, maybe, I don't know who put those there, that Sharif al-Radi, he didn't fabricate it, I'm sure of that. He saw it somewhere. But what we have seen is this. We have seen many times a person who has a certain view that is not correct, they listen to a great person and then they say that person said what they believe, not even necessarily deliberately trying to do that. For example, those who believe in Wilayatul Faqih and believe in the leadership of Ayatollah Khamenei, we've seen scholars, speakers, politicians, they've been in the same session, Ayatollah Khamenei speaks, and one of them comes out and says, this is what the leader said. That's their understanding. But the problem is, their understanding is flawed. It's problematic. They misunderstood the leader. They attributed those words to him. They weren't trying to attribute a lie. That was really what they thought he meant of it. But they didn't use his words. We've seen much of that. Too much of that, okay? That doesn't mean we question everything that's attributed to the Prophet. It means we go to the method that the Prophet mentioned to us. The Prophet said, go to the Quran. If it does not match up with the Quran, hit it against the wall. Throw it against the wall. Slam it against the wall. Throw it away. That's what needs to be done. And this is one area that this needs to happen. Brothers and sisters, we have got to change the understanding that we have as Muslimin towards women to what Islam says about women. The clear verses, the numerous verses of the Quran, the numerous hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, numerous hadith of the Holy Prophet. Go and look at those and correct our understanding of women, the way we need to behave towards women, the way women need to see themselves and behave towards themselves. Correct it.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.